Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop and trust your intuition. Through the wonderful array of guests we have on the show and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane and I'm your host for the podcast. Now today we are talking about, I've got to tell you this first, why I'm really excited about talking to John is because when I was doing all my spiritual work and all getting an understanding of lots of different things, I used to love doing these personality tests and trying out all these different areas that can help you and different tools and different things that we look at to help you get more of an understanding of who you are and where you're going and what you want. And that's what I'm really looking forward to with John today, because he is going to help us with passion and purpose. He is going to help us get an understanding of what it is we like, who we are, what it is we like, where we want to go. And it's really exciting because we get so many aha moments when we can look outside of us to see within us. It's really, really exciting. I know it's, well, that was a little bit, whew, okay, over the top. But I'm not going to say any more because I am going to have John on the podcast. Welcome, John.
Hey, Susan. Thank you again so much for the opportunity. I know we're oceans away, but we, through the internet, we're able to connect. So I'm looking forward to our conversation today, and I'm looking forward to see where this conversation goes.
Oh, it's going to go around in circles and up and down and all over the place. I know, because I love this sort of stuff. Like I said, I remember going through lots of these personality tests, all these different understandings of who we are and what we're doing and where we're going, because I wasn't in the right frame of mind, I guess, to look within and ask those questions. So it was easier to look externally and ask the questions so I could then answer them internally. So it was really, really interesting. But before we go into everything, and I'm really, really scared I'm going to say the word wrong, but it's ikigai.
Ikigai, yeah. Oh, you're talking about ikigai, ikigai.
Ikigai, I knew I'd get it wrong. I'm bloody hopeless at that stuff. But I want to get a bit more of an understanding of who you are, John. What's your background and how did you get into ikigai?
Yeah, so my name is John Mendez. I'm the host of the Walk to Wealth podcast, where I enlighten and empower young adults to build wealthy, abundant lives. And a little bit about my upbringing. Although I talk on topics such as building wealth and entrepreneurship, my background was the complete opposite. I grew up in the projects. It was 9 of us in a 2-bedroom. We were cramped in there. My bed from birth up until almost 4th grade or so was my couch in the living room. As I said, there were 9 of us in a bedroom. In a 2-bedroom. We didn't have a lot of space for everyone to have their own beds. So I didn't have the luxury of sleeping in my own bed. My mother, she suffered from mental health issues. So me and her never seen eye to eye growing up, because as a kid, a lot of that stuff is kind of hard to grasp. You know, you can't really comprehend that stuff as a kid. You just kind of question why your mom isn't the mom you need or want her to be. My father was absent growing up. And for us, we had government assistance, subsidized housing, subsidized like food stamps and things like that. Money was super tight growing up. And despite that, I was a very positive kid. I had a very positive outlook on life. That's just how life was. And as a kid, you don't know any better, right? It's not like I was super wealthy and then lived in the projects. I was born into that. So that's all I knew. And as I started to grow up, entrepreneurship and making money and starting businesses wasn't ever something that was on my mind. It's not that it was something that wasn't appealing. It just wasn't my focus. I loved video games. I played sports. School came super easy to me. But I was never selling candy bars. I didn't have the lemonade stand. I didn't have the paper route. I wasn't your traditional entrepreneur. And then fast forward a ton, how I got into what I'm doing now. So with the podcasting, it was actually during college when I had my epiphany. We were in the middle of the pandemic, and I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And that book switched my perspective on the world, and it made me realize that there's another way of viewing the world that wasn't being taught at home, that wasn't being taught at school. and I wasn't being taught in my environment. So I did what any other curious college student would do, is I started going on YouTube University, and I started figuring some stuff out. I started looking into how to build my credit, how to invest in index funds, how to start a business, entrepreneurship, et cetera, real estate. And I spent all that time during the pandemic, my winter break, learning this stuff. Then when I came back my spring semester, I was still online. And I was like, with the whole world being uncertain, the only thing I was certain of was myself. So I decided to bet on me, drop out of college, pursue real estate and entrepreneurship. And I've never looked back and never, ever plan on looking back.
Wow. I loved Rich Dad Poor Dad. I know exactly what you mean. And it is so easy to get into that mindset, especially when you're living it, because you were in that area. And until you actually can see or read or get an understanding, instead of just looking at other people and envying them, you actually go there and you actually do something about it. So that is really cool. It makes me feel a little bit old because you're just so young. I probably read Rich Dad, Poor Dad 100 years ago. but I must admit, I started my podcast just as the pandemic kicked off too. So I'm pretty not far behind. I'm actually not far in front of you as far as that goes. All right, so John, you've got a fantastic podcast, guys, too. We'll put that down on the ticker tape there. It is called Walk to Wealth, and you can see it on the walktowealth.com website. But jump on and have a listen to that one. So, John, when you've gone through and you've created your podcast, and of course, doing podcasts, you're getting to talk to a lot of other people. So not only are you talking and sharing this information, you're actually getting more information yourself. So you're growing and developing as you go along too. But I wanted to have a bit of a talk to you about what we were going to talk about, you're embracing your passion and your purpose. Tell us a little bit about what Ikigai is and why you went that way.
Yeah, so for me, I always been someone that was a deep thinker. I always was always deep into my thoughts in high school. And not so a little bit of context, growing up in a way that I didn't really have a role model. And I became very open-minded because I didn't have one set person to look up to. And so I would take the best parts of everyone and try to implement them into my life. And I would take all the bad parts and leave them out. And so I kind of became this giant melting pot of different perspectives. And as I started to advance in my own life and advance in my own journey, I would accumulate all these different perspectives and pretty much combine the best parts of each one that I was able to implement in my life. So I was always a deep thinker. And around the time when I dropped out, this is 2021. Now it's 2022 is when I really got into entrepreneurship. I ended up getting licensed in real estate 2 weeks after I turned 20. And then I started my podcast 4 months after that. And then around the time, I also started teaching social media classes for free, and I was working at a restaurant. So my bandwidth was spread super thin, and I'm very energetic, very driven, very hardworking, and I have a lot of traits of a successful entrepreneur. And despite that, I was not selling any houses in real estate. My podcast numbers were going down month after month, and my social media business that I ended up starting, I ended up scrapping because I realized I don't like creating content for other people. So after my very first content, I pretty much threw that idea out to the side. Now, mind you, I'm still at the restaurant and I'm not getting anything done there because I'm working for very close to nothing. At least in the summertime, I make decent money, but in wintertime, virtually nothing. So the first step in my journey was reading this book called The Purpose Factor. And that got me thinking. And I was so convinced last year that I was going to be a top real estate agent, so convinced. And that book, The Purpose Factor, made me realize like, hey, maybe I'm not really on the right track. Maybe I'm not headed in the right direction. And I started thinking and reflecting. I was like, okay, maybe real estate's not it. Let me shift my focus to the social media stuff that I had going on. And then from there, I was on this accelerator call. And one of the guys on the accelerator call was like, John, you're expecting full-time results from part-time effort. And that's when it hit me. And around that same time, I started finding this concept called Ikigai on YouTube and finding your purpose. And I started looking into it and I started trying to implement that into my life. And then from there, I ended up deciding to go all in and focusing on my show. And then the snowball finally started to roll in my favor because I decided to stop trying to do everything at one time and focus on one thing. And I realized that procrastination can be your best friend if you allow it to. You just have to make sure you read the signal properly. I was procrastinating on what I needed to do because I was trying to do everything at the same time. What I needed to do was focus, and that's what Ikigai helped me do.
Ah, okay. So it helped you do, it helped you focus on that. Now, that is something that entrepreneurs do have a problem with. I've got to put my hand up there too. Because, yes, we just sort of get, you see so many wonderful ideas and so many things you can do and ways you can help people and how and what you can do and where we can go. But we do tend to sort of get a little bit, thin. You get, as you said, you start to, you with bandwidth becomes too thin. Yeah. And you find that the times just become, the more time you have, the more you seem to jam other things in as well. Yes. And I think with the pandemic, it actually made people stop and have a little bit of a look. And for some of us, we just jammed more stuff in a different way. And others didn't. They sort of stood back and went, okay, what's important, where we need to go. And it sounds like that's what you were looking at, what was more important. And this is where the Ikigai could help you get that clarity in where you want to go. Funnily enough, John, it was only last week because I work for digital marketing, so I work part-time. I'm doing the same. I'm doing part-time here and a part-time there and part-time mum at home and all the rest of it. So I work for a digital marketing agency. I went into that just like you did some of the real estate. I wanted to get the learning and the knowledge, and why not get paid to learn and gather that knowledge? So I went into that and discovered that, hey, I'm pretty good at it and I really like it. You know, so I went, you know, there's parts of that job that I really, really like. There's other parts that, well, you know, to use the technical term, gives me the shits. But most of it I really, really like. So, you know, and then I've got my other side, the podcast and things like that. And where I recently I just let go of my business. Now, when I've said I've let go of my business, which is Intuitive Nature, that's where I run my online courses and the podcast and all that, I've let that business go because I was focusing so much on trying to make money and make that business work that I started to lose the passion and the drive behind why I did it to start with. And so when I've said, okay, I'm letting it go as a business, it hasn't stopped. I'm still going to be doing the website. I'm still going to be doing the podcast and everything else. I've taken away that factor where I have to make money, because when I took that away, I took away the stress and the problems that went with it. And since I did that, I've had three other options now of events and things like that. So the take away the problem and it starts to come through. You know, instead of me sitting there going, oh, I've got to make money, it's like, no, don't need to, just want to enjoy it, just want to embrace it, and the money's starting to flow in. But I want to get a bit more understanding of the Ikigai, because we've talked about it, the history behind it, what is it? Because it is a Japanese concept.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, it originates in Japan, and the people of the place where this originates from have one of the longest life expectancies in the entire world. These people are living well into the 90s, living way more fulfilled than us here in Western culture. And these guys, pretty much, they have the cheat code to life. They have the key. They figured it out somehow, some way. Don't know how they did it, but they did it. And the concept of Ikigai, the reason I love it is because it's so simple. So Ikigai translates roughly to your reason for being, right? And the way you find your Ikigai is, I can't draw a picture, and even if I had a canvas behind me to draw a picture, I suck at drawing, so I try to illustrate it with my words as best as I can. Essentially, it's a Venn diagram of four circles. The first circle is what you love to do. What would you do for the rest of your life if no one ever paid you? The second circle is, what does the world need? What problems do you feel compelled to solve? Third circle is, what can you be rewarded for? Because you still need to keep the lights on. You still need to put food on the table. And the fourth circle, which I've kind of adjusted a little bit to my own liking, it's originally, what are you good at? I'd like to say, what do you have the aptitude to be good at? Because usually the fish is the last one to realize that it's in water. And the stuff that come natural to you, you may discredit yourself and not realize that those are actually talents that other people find valuable. So it's four circles: what you love to do, what the world needs, what you're good at, and what you can be rewarded for. When those four intersect, that is where you find your ikigai. And we can go deeper if you'd like.
Wow. Okay. Hang on. Let me just press the right button here and get in. Okay. You have sort of said it sounds very, very simplistic, very, very easy. And of course, it's never, ever like that, even though it is. It really is. I mean, it is quite simple, but when you start to go, like you said, with what are you good at, it is a really, really challenging thing, because you don't realize what you're good at because you just take it for granted. I used to have people say to me, oh, you're so intuitive. And I'd go, no, everyone can do that. Like that's nothing. And I didn't realize that everyone can't do that. You don't realize, like you say, a fish doesn't realize they're in the water until they're out of it. So it's really easy, but really challenging to answer some of those questions. And then I, of course, me being who I am, a little bit of a theory tester, I had to go in and have a look. And when you're saying there's these circles, the four different areas, but the four different areas interlock. So they interlock with each other in the four circles, and then they interlock in all four of them, and that's the very, very center, the very, very heart of it is your ikigai.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So when you're doing this, how do you get an understanding of purpose-driven? How do you get an understanding of your passion and your purpose?
Yeah. So that's a great question. So let's dive a little bit deeper now into it. So step number one, what do you love to do? This is where you're actually going to write down your passions now. For a lot of people, they tend to add their own flavor on things, right? When they dance, they add their own flavor. When they get dressed, they add their own flavor. When they say words, they add their own flavor to the words. And that could also shoot ourselves in the foot a little bit, because if ever you ask 10 people what the define passion, you probably get 10 different answers. So the dictionary definition of passion, according to Oxford, is a barely controllable emotion. So with that being said, a lot of people give you business advice and tell you to pursue your passion, monetize your passion, whatever your passion, right? And you just take the dictionary definition and swap it out with the word, and you quickly realize how bad of that idea it is. And the problem with passion is, just like any other emotion, as quickly as it comes is as quickly as it goes. So it's like building a house on a beach and you're on the sand. You still have the beachfront views, but you're only one high tide away before the whole house comes crumbling down. So that is why passion could lead you astray, and passion can actually screw you over. It is an amazing thing to have, but it shouldn't be your North Star. And that's where Ikigai comes into play. So for step number one, start out by listing all your passions. Like, what do you genuinely love to do? What are the things that when you do them, time freezes? Time doesn't exist anymore. For me, it was playing sports, talking to people, networking, going on adventures, traveling. Like, you list down everything that you would do for the rest of your life if no one paid you a single penny, as I said earlier, right? List down all the things. Also, list down all the things that you used to love as a kid. Sometimes the things that we're meant to do are the things that we bottled away when you were younger and didn't explore further. So start reflecting. Go back in deeper and figure out, what were all the things that you loved to do growing up? And write down all the things that you love to do now currently. What are some of the things that you genuinely enjoy doing? So that's step number one. Step number two now, what does the world need? Now write down a list of every problem you feel compelled to solve, every single thing that you feel you could help with. And once you list all the things down, some people might not be able to come up with a list. So you might have to try an inverse way of thinking. Instead of listing down every problem you feel compelled to solve, write down everything that annoys you, every single thing, right? Because one guy or gal was tired of waiting in line, and then boom, we have self-checkout. Now no one waits in line at the grocery stores because someone was probably annoyed and didn't want to wait any longer and was like, there got to be a better way. So if you don't have things that come to mind when you come think about problems that you want to solve, think about everything that annoys you And that's usually a great start, right? Now for step number three, what can you be rewarded for? Now, as I said earlier, you still have to make ends meet. So a lot of the time we do this volunteer work, we do charity work, and it's great and all, but as I said, we still have to pay our dues. So figuring out ways that you can be rewarded. We're both podcasters, so I'm going to just use us as an example. Yep. We could take on advertisements. We could do sponsorships. We can do subscriptions. We could do affiliate marketing. We could convert our listeners into clients of our business. We can do promo swaps. We can do ad swaps. We could charge guests. There's so many different ways that you could be rewarded with podcasting. You don't have to do all of them. You could pick your favorite. And whatever it is that you want to do, find ways to get monetized for it. And then step number four, what do you have the aptitude to be good at? Sometimes you might have to go to someone else. For me, I found that I was quote unquote good at social media marketing long before I ever thought that I was good at social media marketing. That's because I was in a mastermind filled with real estate agents, and I made a quick Facebook post of like five quick tips for social media for making videos. And then the host of the mastermind was like, "Hey, John, do you mind teaching a class on this?" And I straight up said like, "Hey, I never taught a class before." And she was like, "John, let us know when you want it scheduled." And the rest is history. So sometimes get someone else. I start interviewing people. Start asking people, "Hey, what would you come to me for advice for? When you think of me, what do you think of? What do you think I'm good at?" And then start reflecting as well. What are some of the things that I do without thinking? For example, a lot of us know how to drive. Most of us can do that without thinking. It doesn't take much conscious work. So list out all the things that you can kind of almost do in your sleep that you could do without much effort, without much thought. And now you should have this giant list of things that you do. The next step after you have the giant list is to find one that intersects across all circles. For example, for me, as I said, what do I love to do? I love talking to people. I love networking. That's what we do here in these podcasts, right? That's circle number one, check. Circle number two, what does the world need? For me, I was talking about wealth building and, you know, thinking abundantly. That's because that's exactly what I liked growing up, right? And I do that with my podcast. So there you go. Podcast checks off two boxes so far, or two circles. Then number three, what can we be rewarded for? I just went through the exercise with you about getting rewarded for podcasting. So now that's three circles that it checks off. Circle number four, what are we good at? I was told I have the gift of gab. I may be a little biased, but I could talk your head off if you let me. And I'm very extroverted. In podcasts, you're talking all the time. So I have a natural aptitude to do podcasting. So podcasting checks off all four circles for me. So that's what I'm pursuing. And with purpose, you want your purpose to be your North Star, because your purpose is something that transcends you. Your purpose is something that's bigger than you. It's something that may never be accomplished in your life, but you're still striving towards, like almost like MLK, if you are familiar with U.S. history. MLK, he was fighting for Black rights. Never got to see the end, but he was fighting for it, knowing that he probably would never see it. To go back to the Bible, Moses, he was supposed to lead people out of the desert. He never got to see people to the other side, but he was leading people. He was leading to, and a lot of the times with our missions, with our purpose, there's things that we won't ever be able to accomplish, but we're in continual pursuit of, and that's the things that drive us. Like for me, I may never be able to help all the young adults that are on the planet, but I'm damn well going to try, and I'm going to keep on trying for as long as I'm alive, right? And that's the difference between something like a purpose and your passion, whereas your passion just comes and goes. Your purpose is something that's bigger than you. It's something that you probably won't ever be able to reach or achieve, but you're in continual pursuit of.
Wow, I love how you've put that, John. That's amazing. I have heard that before, and I took it on board too the last time I heard that. It's definitely true. The passion will come and go, and it's lovely to have that passion because you've got a drive and you've got a determination. But yes, it will come and go. You will have good days and you will have bad days. But a purpose is something that we may not ever reach, but you're always striving for it, and it gives you that real good depth. That's where your core values are really starting to come in. So I really, that's beautiful. I love that. But I have to ask then, what is your purpose?
Yeah, so my purpose, I might have teased it a little bit, but my purpose is to enlighten and empower young adults to build wealthy, abundant lives. I came to this realization because, as I said, I didn't have a lot of this stuff that I'm talking about now. I didn't have this knowledge when I was growing up. Growing up in the projects, you don't see a lot of abundance, affluence. This, I was fortunate to see because I had friends in public school. And in public schools, you have people from all over the place and all different backgrounds. And I had some pretty like well-off friends, or at least their parents were well-off. So I got to see a wide spectrum of what an absence of wealth can do for you and an abundance of wealth can do for you. And I seen that spectrum very early on in life. So I knew there was more. I just didn't know how to go about getting more. And I realized that this stuff that I'm talking about now, growing up inner city, most people are force-fed the traditional way of thinking of go to college, get a job, work the rest of your life, and then hopefully have enough saved for retirement so that you can enjoy before you kick the bucket. And yeah, for me, growing up in, as I said, inner city schools, you see a lot of people that don't want to take the traditional route. You see a lot of people that don't want to go to college. A lot of people that want to go to trade school, want to go to the army, want to go start their own business, but don't know what's out there. And for me, I'm still in real time figuring out that journey, figuring out that, trekking that path. And I forget his name, but the poem, the two roads, and I took the one less traveled by. I forget his name all the time. And yes, it's made all the difference is how the poem ends. And it really has so far. And I haven't even made it to the end of the trail that I'm on. But taking that path, that untraditional track, is something that has changed the trajectory of my entire life. And I can't imagine how life would be right now or how life would end up had I not gone down this journey, had the pandemic not happened, had I not read Rich Dad Poor Dad and started my journey. I'm so glad that everything played out the way it did, because the road less traveled by is something that is so deeply rewarding. There's so many obstacles and hurdles, but I'd rather front load all the obstacles in life now so I can live easier later than take the easy way out now and have a life of regret later, because there's no pain larger, more greater than the pain of regret. And I'd rather not live a regretful life.
Yeah. Okay. It's lovely. When you're talking about the road less traveled, where I was first going was when you're talking about having that purpose. Now, you're discussing now where you are in the here and now, and you're talking about podcasts and you're focusing on your podcast. But when you have got that purpose, it means that you can actually morph into different things. If your podcast in 10 years time, you go, you know what, I've had enough. It's not
the podcasting is the vehicle. The purpose is the mission. The helping young adults. That's my purpose. That's my mission. Exactly. My podcast is my current vehicle. That may very likely change, especially as I start to grow. I want to speak on stages. I want to eventually write a book in the future. I want to host summits. I want to host a big conference and getaway. Like, I want to do retreats. I want to do so many things in life. My current vehicle right now is my podcast, but my purpose is to enlighten and empower the young adults, to tell them that, hey, there's another way out there. There's another path that you could head down if you didn't want to go the traditional route, if you wanted to hop off of the conveyor belt of life of, as I said, growing up, going to school, going to college, getting a job, kicking a bucket, right? If you want to get off the rat race, the traditional path, the conveyor belt, whatever you want to call it, That's my mission, is helping other young people who want to but don't know how.
Yeah. And I just wanted to sort of clarify that too, because that was one of the things. And being an entrepreneur, because we can jump and change and move around, if we don't know what our purpose is, if we don't have that clear, you're jumping and changing around for the wrong reasons. You're not jumping and changing around for your purpose. So it's really, really important in that context that we look at it in that way. And that's why I wanted to clarify that. Mm-hmm. Because I remember when I was in school and somebody said to me, well, so what do you want to be when you grow up? And, you know, I still haven't got there yet because I haven't grown up. But one of the things I said, all I could say to them is I want to help people. And as soon as I said I wanted to help people, I had no idea what that meant. I didn't understand work or careers or anything else. But straight away they tried to put me into a box. Oh, you want to be a nurse? No, I want to help people. Oh, so you want to be a doctor? No, I want to help people. Oh, so you want to be – and they tried to box me into this – like you say, mainstream area, you know, oh, well, if you can't be anything, you'll have to be a secretary, you know, like, and they were the choices, or a teacher. They were the choices that we had, you know. It was like, no, I don't know what it looks like, but I know what my purpose is. And I didn't understand what the word purpose was, but I all knew from the very, very word go at primary school, I wanted to help people. I didn't know what that looked like. I didn't know what it meant, but I knew that that was, now I know it was a purpose that was obviously a lot deeper than I realized. And I have jumped from here to there. I have done a lot of things trying to find the right niche for me to be on that purpose. And why I talked about the podcast and that is because basically there never was podcasts in my days when I first started, so that was not an option. Showing my age now, that was not an option. But what I'm trying to sort of say is that because the job you're doing or what you're doing now has so much passion in it, which is where the passion comes in, it can change and be free to change, but stay on track.
Yeah, yeah, no, so 100%. It's being Bruce Lee talks about being like water, right? And you have to take the form of whatever is calling you at that point in time, depending on the season that you're in life. And being able to mold and adjust and adapt is something that is essential to survive as an entrepreneur. And it's not like you're an employee for a business. You have to do everything, especially starting off on your own. And if you're not a bit able to adapt, for example, right now with all the stuff going on with the AI stuff, like AI isn't going to take over anyone's job, but someone that knows how to use AI better than you most certainly will take over your job. And that is the, depending on which industry you're in, but like if you're in marketing, yeah, you pretty much have to adapt. You have to get with the tide. You have to, you know, roll with the punches. You have to be able to mesh and to pretty much like evolve depending on what your situation, your environment calls for. And if you stay too rigid, I mean, yeah, you could probably find success if you have a really good business model, but even the best businesses have to adapt. For example, let's talk like all the big, big, big banks, right? At least in the US, they all have contactless, you know, tap to pay cards. Why? Because people want the convenience. So of course they're all big banks and they have old money that goes way, 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 way back in time. If one of them just decided like, hey, I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to stay with, you know, swipe and I'm going to be swipe only, then they probably wouldn't have adapted the chip. And then they definitely wouldn't have adapted the tablet, you know, the tap to pay. And they would have been, you know, clients that would have said like, hey, I'm going to switch my bank. This is inconvenient. I want to tap and go. I want to do X, Y, Z. And so it's like, as I said, if you have a solid business model, you'll be able to find some success. But in the long run, if you don't adopt a little bit and evolve a little bit and change to what's required into the in the marketplace, you're pretty much going to eventually get yourself kicked out the game.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And that's what it's all about. It is about adapting. I have just popped up on the ticker tape here that you actually have a free gift, which is cool. It's an ebook. And it is called 4 Steps to Unleashing Your Purpose. So I had to say this because, you know, we've got that understanding of the 4 different areas there and how they intermingle and how we can find those. And that's what I really liked when you explained, you know, trying to find those continuity between the 4 areas. And you're talking about podcasts. Well, podcast is talking and it's coming into all those different areas. And you know what's really funny? Actually, I have to just say this. You're saying you're extroverted. You know why I like podcasts? It's because I'm introverted. I don't like networking as much. I like podcasts because I get to do this one-on-one and I can share that with other people. I don't have to be in a room with a lot of people. I can just share with you. So I look at podcasts very, very different in that context. And yet I like doing public speaking. So it's funny how we will find things that suit us and we need to make sure we pick them out and get that understanding of it. But your book, I believe, will help us do that.
Yeah, it's one of those things and it's super quick. It's one of those, I'm building the plane as we fly and I'm adding more to it constantly just because I'm learning more. My thoughts are getting more honed as I talk about this more, and I'm adding more and more into it. I'm also creating it myself, so bear with me a little bit. I am not a book formatter, so that's probably been the hard part. A lot of the stuff with entrepreneurship, it's like you figure a lot of the stuff out on your own, and it gets you good at a lot of different things. But there's this old saying, most people forget to quote the entire thing, but it's a jack of all trade, master of none, but still better than a master of one. And it's like a lot of these different tricks and tools you kind of just pick up on your journey of entrepreneurship. Like, for example, formatting an ebook. Like, that's something I never thought I would do, but I was able to figure it out.
Yeah, I had to do the same with mine, and it's a huge learning curve. You write your book and then you get somebody to read it, and it's like, oh my goodness, and then you have to format it all, and and then, funnily enough, it's not until you sort of get towards the end and you go, oh, now I understand it all, and you have to go back and redo it. And then you're like, oh damn. So yes, I do totally get that. And one of the things that I've actually have said about entrepreneur and that side of things is because we do have to do so much, but it really gives you a clear understanding when you're ready, when you're starting to bring in the money, if you're starting as an entrepreneur and then you're bringing in some money, it gives you an understanding of what you want to pay people to do and what your expectation is of that. Because I know when I wrote my book and things like that, I found it was very, very valuable to get it edited properly. It saved my time, but I could see how much work it was. So getting it edited by somebody was valuable to me. Even though I had to pay that money, it was valuable. And we start to get that understanding because I've built websites, I've done this, done that. When you know how much time it takes and what it's about, it's not so hard to pay somebody to do it.
Yeah, definitely. And it's a one-time investment. And learning how to do it on your own first pretty much teaches you how to not get scammed, because then when someone says, hey, I charge you $10,000 to format a little thing, and I was like, man, I could do this like 2 hours. I just don't want to do it in 2 hours. I'd rather just have you do it. Why are you paying me $10,000 for this, right? You get a good understanding of how the actual scope of the work gets done and how long it takes to get done so that you don't get screwed over.
Yes, yeah. That's how you put it. I just put it the long-winded way. That's exactly it. But if you want to jump onto the book, it is called 4 Steps of Unleashing Your Purpose. I will have the link down below so you can click on it there. You'll see it as it goes past on the little ticker tape. All right, so what is next? I want to get an understanding. So you've gone through and you've done the process. How long did that take you to do that process?
It wasn't like I sat down one day and decided to think about all my life. But as I watched tons of YouTube videos first, I have a bad thing where I don't just watch one YouTube and get it after it. I probably watch like 30 YouTubes, like videos on the same concept, and just mash my brain with as much information as possible. And I watch my videos on double speed, so I'm torching through these videos. I consume information at a massive rate, and I just stuff my brain with it. And then from there, then I started pretty much guessing on podcasts. And as I was guessing on podcasts, talking about what I just shared and learned, one of the best ways to learn is to teach. So yes. I got all this information. I started reflecting on my own life. And as I'm reflecting and learning, I started guessing on shows and talking about this very same concept. And I've been able to hone in a lot. And now that I've been on the guesting side of the podcasting, it just reinforced my love for podcasting, knowing that I'm in the right track right now and I'm in the right space. And doors started to open, opportunities started to open, blessings started to come. And it was like, man, if only I just focused and locked in sooner, this would have been such a different process. But you live, you learn, right? And it's all a lesson. So I am very grateful for my journey. And of course, I can be like, oh, if only I knew this sooner. But I'm already starting relatively extremely early in life than most people. So it's like just being grateful for every step of the journey and learning and reflecting on the lessons. It probably took me, as I said, all 2022, I was super distracted. So when I originally broke into entrepreneurship is because I wanted to get into doing real estate. And that was February of 2021 when I dropped out. And then I decided to focus on podcasting. It was around December of 2022. So I guess a little over 2 years, I came to the conclusion that I wanted to focus on, like, really focus on podcasting for the short term. But I found the concept of Ikigai around close to November-ish of 2022. So I guess 2 months since I found the concept of Ikigai, but it was a long journey of reflecting and thinking and overthinking and, you know, questioning myself. And then Ikigai just helped me to kind of narrow it down. But short answer, 2 months. Long answer, 2 years.
Yeah. I was going to say 2 months is very quick, but it is. It is getting that understanding. And sometimes we've already got it. We just need to see it in that format. We need to just write it down and go. Yeah,
and simplify it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, John. That was really cool. I like how you put it forward, and I love this concept. I'm actually going to go and have a little play with it, I have to be honest, and see what it's all about. Do you have any last words that you want to share with us before we go?
Yes, and it's something that I was thinking about. So, quick funny story. I ended up guesting on a podcast literally not too long ago. And the podcast, I was reading the title, right, because the host sent me the list of questions. And the title of the podcast episode that they were going to name the show was The 6 Steps to Leading an Abundant Life. And I forgot that there's something on my one sheet that says something about that. So I'm about to be interviewed and I'm there panicking because I'm like, yo, where on earth do these guys get this question from? I don't have anywhere on my bio that talks about this. I'm going to have to pull something out of my butt and figure it out. Like, I don't know what I was going to say or what I was going to talk about for an entire hour. And I ended up coming with something. And one of the things that I came up with, I think it was like step number four or five in that 6-step process, is pretty much progressing. And I use this analogy of driving on the freeway in the middle of a rainy night with a storm and clouds and it's foggy, right? You can't see very far ahead, right? You have your high beams on and it's storming, it's foggy outside, it's dark. You might be able to see only 5 feet ahead. That's 5 feet enough, right? You just drive up until where you can see and then you go a little bit further. And then you go a little bit further. And as you start progressing, as you start moving forward in life, the sun starts to clear up. The clouds start to clear up. The sun starts to shine. And sooner or later, you'll be able to see the horizon. You'll be able to see down the road. But you would never get there if you stay in the storm. And that's a lot of the time with entrepreneurship. You got to go in a chasm, in the valley of darkness. And you may not be able to see the light at the end of the tunnel, but if you stop in the middle of the tunnel, you'll never end up seeing it. So as you start progressing, you may not see how it all turned out. Think of a GPS. I had another metaphor just to make it illustrate it even more. When you put in a GPS, you don't ask what's the very first turn. You just put in the final destination and it calibrates for you. And if there's a bump in the road, what happens? The GPS just recalibrates. Be a GPS. Just focus, have crystal clear clarity on the final destination, and the road will start to unveil itself as you start to move forward. So just take action, take one small baby step, and keep on taking those steps, and you'll sooner or later, things will start clearing up for you.
Love that. That is so good. And I just have to add, as you're driving down that highway and you don't know where you're going, just be aware of your intuition because that'll pop little things up for you. Look out for the big signs. Look out for the little humps. That's what they're there for. Thank you so much for being on the show, John. It was really a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's definitely a great conversation.
Okay, stay there. I will chat with you in a minute. So, guys, that is it. That's our show for today. Subscribe, like, share the podcast. But, for all those entrepreneurs out there, keep going. As John said, just keep going. I think little Dory said it too, didn't she, when she was swimming? Just keep swimming. And sometimes we do feel like we're drowning. Sometimes we do feel like the storm's not going to clear. But it does. It's just a moment in time. You've just got to write it out and keep going. But keep those antennae, your little intuitive antennae out there, and watch where you're going and watch for the signs, because it's all going to be helping you. We know that it's for the greater purpose. So thank you guys again. I will see you next week. And so that's me. I will say bye for now. Bye-bye.